everyone. I'm Alan Wenzel, and I'm here today to talk a little bit about the Select Picks Classic Film Series that will be happening at the Lindo Theater throughout 2025. And I'm here with Ed Finch.
Hello.
Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Having a good holiday period?
Oh, yes. And looking forward to our new film series.
It's a good one, Ed. Let's talk a little bit about what we have coming up for the coming year. We start off with a bang, literally. And figuratively speaking, by doing The Untouchables in January. What do you like about that movie, Ed?
Well, it's got a lot going for you. First of all, you got Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, Robert De Niro, you know, some big names, heavy hitters, directed by Brian De Palma. And I don't think we've ever done a film by him.
This is our first Brian De Palma film.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he directed it. And so, you know, there's a lot there, and it's a really interesting movie. It tells a story that most people our age know because of the old TV series, The Untouchables, yeah. You know, back in the day.
Right. With Robert Stack.
Yeah, right. The FBI special unit that went after the organized crime guys back in the 30s and 40s during Prohibition. And so it's always an interesting part of American history. I don't know how historically accurate the film is.
But it's highly fictionalized. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
there's an underpinning of truth to what's going on there.
Right. There was a group called the Untouchables.
There was a group, and
Elliot
they did
Ness
fight Al Capone.
Yes.
In Chicago, you're right.
Right.
One of the things I like about this movie, Ed, is filmed on location. There are a lot of Chicago places that people will recognize when they see the movie. It's kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, only a whole little different kind of a movie. But
right.
It's kind of fun to see those Chicago locations. Of course, it's all period. So everything looks like the 1930s. And they do a marvelous job of portraying the era and the film. And as you said, Sean Connery and Robert De Niro, Kevin Costner, you know, some really good acting too.
Right. Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
And this year, for the first time that I can think of, we've been doing this. This will be our 15th year, is we've got two films starring Sean Connery, The Untouchables, coming up on January 8th. And then we're doing From Russia with Love in June. So that's the first time we've had two movies in the season with the same lead actor in it. Although we've done it twice this year.
Oh, we have Julia Roberts in two
also. Julia Roberts.
Right.
Yeah, she's in Aaron Brockovich in our March film, and then Steel Magnolias in September, our film.
Those are both fun movies. And they're different kind of movies. Aaron Brockovich, that's based on a true story.
Yes, yeah.
It's not highly fictionalized. It really happened.
Right.
There is a person named Aaron Brockovich, and Julia Roberts plays that person. But that's a really good movie about the exposure of corporate greed and malfeasance and the consequence of what happens.
Exactly,
when,
yes.
Companies go after the environment in the way in which this one did.
Yeah.
And then you like Steel Magnolias, too. That's one of your favorite
movies. That's one of my favorite movies, particularly that scene, Sally Fields at the funeral of her daughter, was played by... Julia Roberts, we were just talking about.
Julia Roberts, right.
Yeah. And she just loses it. And that scene is just, it rips your heart out.
Very moving.
You know, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people feel like when they've lost a loved one, they just want to, they have rage in them over and above the sense of loss. So that's always a really heart-wrenching scene to watch.
And that's one of the things that has marked the Select Picks film series. And we have a wide variety of films, all the way from a film like Steel Magnolias, with some very moving moments in this movie about the relationships between some women in a small southern town and how close they become and how much a part of each other's lives they become. And then on the other end, you've got James Bond, Sean Connery in a James Bond movie from Russia with Love.
Yeah,
and
then, one of the early ones.
Yeah. Which I like that movie. That was going to be in June. Yeah, June 4th from Russia with Love.
Yeah.
The James Bond movie with Robert Shaw.
Yes.
Who plays the heavy. And boy, does he do a good job.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shaw's a good actor, but yeah, he does. In that movie, he does particularly well.
Okay. So we've got, by the way, our listeners ought to know that the Select Film Series is the first Wednesday of every month with two exceptions.
Right. January 8th instead of the first, because the first is New Year's Day. And there's usually a whole lot of people that go to other movies that day. So we're doing our Select Picks on January 8th for the month of January. And then
July.
We're on the 9th. Yeah.
We try to avoid that week of the fourth, because that can be a week when summer blockbusters are getting released and the movie theaters trying to use their screens for the blockbusters.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit, Ed. Okay, Untouchables is in January. By the way, the complete schedule for the select picks can be found in two different places. One is on the FreePod website where this will be posted, but you can also go to the Lindo Theater, Classic Cinema's website, and look for select picks, and you can find our schedule there and the upcoming movies for each month.
Yes, and you can also find on our Facebook page, Alan and Ed's Film Club. If you're on Facebook, you can go to Alan and Ed's Film Club and like us. And then we post little snippets about each of the movies in the weeks before we show it. I just posted something today, the second post on Untouchables. So there's always something there, sometimes a little bit of trivia or something that would entice people to come see the movie.
So Alan and Ed's Facebook page, Film Club Facebook page, will have the movie coming up each month, and you can go check that out too.
Right.
So in January, we're doing The Untouchables. We already mentioned Aaron Brockovich in March. Let's talk just for a second about the February movie, Beverly Hills Cop.
Hills Cop, 1984.
Yeah.
Started a whole franchise because there have been a number of Beverly Hills Cops movies over the years. And it was also a sort of a breakout role for
Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah. He was,
my mind is not.
That's all right. It's the holidays.
Too much Christmas.
Yeah. Too much Christmas. Well, Eddie Murphy, of course, he was well known from Saturday Night Live, and he started to get into films when he left that almost weekly comedy series. But this was a breakout role for him. It really made him an international star. And from this movie, he went on to do just a lot of wonderful things. And so, and as a matter of fact, Ed, just within the last 6 months, Beverly Hills Cop 4 was released.
Yes.
Which was very good, by the way.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
And so here folks get a chance to see the original.
Right.
From 1984, Beverly Hills Cop. By the way, it won a Golden Globe Award for Best Comedy Film.
It did. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Be prepared for a fun time in February when you come see Beverly Hills Cop. I'm looking down our schedule, Ed, and we've mentioned a couple, but let's make sure we don't miss any. April, we're doing 16 Candles. What would our listeners appreciate about that movie, do you think?
Well, for not our generation, you and I, Alan, but our children, that was one of the movies when they were growing up that was really influential. That generation glommed onto those movies like 16 Candles and Breakfast Club and
Ferris Bueller,
and it spoke to sort of the zeitgeist of the that generation as they went through their high school years and growing up.
Yep. John Hughes, who wrote and directed that movie, John Hughes wrote 32 screenplays for 32 different films. And he was kind of known for doing these coming of age stories with, as you said, Ed, spoke to the teenagers of the era, and boy, did they go to see those movies.
Yeah.
And they've held up well, and they're fun to see now. We did Ferris Bueller a few years back.
Yes, yeah.
And we're doing, that's a great one, and we're doing 16 Candles. And Molly Ringwald, who just plays this gal whose family forgets her birthday, her 16th birthday.
Yeah.
And all that she goes through is part of the activities surrounding that forgetfulness on the part of her family. It's got some poignant moments, but it's got some funny moments. It's really well done.
Yes, very much so. Looking forward to it.
Now in May, we've got a little different kind of a presentation headed your way. If you are a classic film buff, it's an Alfred Hitchcock movie, Dial M for Murder. And Michael Schindler, the person who books these movies for us, he does a great job, by the way. He talked us into doing a 3D version of this. So what's that going to involve, Ed?
Well, we're going to be passing out those glasses, to everybody that they can wear during the movie. And for those of us who grew up back in the day when that was a real promotional thing to get people in the movie theaters, it'll be kind of a reminiscent thing.
Kind of nostalgic.
And getting to watch an Alfred Hitchcock movie that's, His movies are always thrillers. And
this one has Grace Kelly in it, Ray Milland.
Right, yeah.
One of his favorite actors, Hitchcock's favorite actresses, Grace Kelly.
Right, right. And then you get to wear the 3D glasses too. So,
man, what a deal.
It's going to be a fun time.
Get your box of popcorn and something to drink and you're all set.
Yep.
And that's going to be in May 7th. Yep. Dial M for Murder. Put it on your calendar. 3D. Now, we talked just a little bit about From Russia with Love that's going to happen in June. Anything else we need to say about From Russia with Love other than we've tried to do a Bond movie every year.
Correct.
Recently.
Yep. Yes.
And this one was the second Bond movie, I believe.
I believe, yeah. It's from 1963. Right. So it's one of the earliest ones.
It was right after Dr. No and right before Goldfinger.
Okay.
So it's right in between those
two. You know your Bond films better than I do. I just enjoy them. I'm not the intellectual side of this.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I am either. But and here's the interesting thing about that movie. They doubled the budget from Dr. No. And they gave him $2 million to make this movie. It made $78 million, which like in today's dollars is like $350 million.
Oh, yes.
It just did phenomenally well.
Yeah. And that whole franchise, though, based on the novels by...
Ian Fleming.
Ian Fleming, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Broccoli family bought up all those rights. And so they controlled in all of these Bond movies, except for one, they've been the production people on it. Mm-hmm. And apparently my son was telling me just Christmas Day, we were talking that they're having trouble getting the next one made because the Broccoli family is demanding they do certain things and the people that are trying to produce it want to go in a different direction.
Oh, sure.
But they control the movie rights to all of Ian Fleming's films. They mm-hmm. bought them up back mm-hmm. when everybody just thought Ian Fleming was just a pulp fiction writer.
Yeah, right.
You know, wrote these sort of thriller kind of things, but only a narrow market in terms of viewing it. And then it's turned into this franchise that's gone on for what?
Oh, 60 years.
Yeah.
And Barbara, now the daughter of Albert, is kind of running the show there. And I'm sure she's got some pretty definite ideas on what they'd like to do. But you're right, Ed, they control it.
Yes.
And they've turned out some good product in the past. So
right.
I'd hate to take it away from them and let them go. Let them do it.
Yep.
Interestingly enough, there's a new biography out on Ian Fleming, and there are reports about whether or not he liked Sean Connery in that role or not. Initially, he wasn't sure, but ultimately, he thought that Sean Connery was the ultimate James. He was the James Bond he had in mind when he wrote those stories.
That's interesting.
So that's kind of nice to know.
Right.
He approved of Sean Connery.
Yeah, and as you and I know from doing the other films, because we've done Bond films with different actors playing Bond, people have different opinions.
Yes, they do.
And those of us who, the first Bond movies we ever saw was all Sean Connery. It's a little hard to let go of him for these new people. But I've come to the conclusion that Bond movies with the different actors is sort of like pizza. There's no such thing as a bad pizza. There's just some that are better than others.
Right.
Same thing with Bond movies. There's not a bad one, but there's some that are better than others.
Yeah. That's well put. Let's leave that at that, Ed. Okay. Can you come to the movie and judge for yourself how well you like Sean Connery if you're particularly of the younger generation. But for us older folks, it'll be a treat once again. And then in July, Ed, we do something we haven't done in a while, and that's to show kind of a blockbuster World War II movie.
Yes.
And we're going to do The Great Escape.
The Great Escape, also from 1963.
That's right, it is.
Steve McQueen is in it. One of his
James Gardner
parts.
Is in it.
Yes. And it was also the origin for the popular TV series Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, yes.
You know, the German Americans and British Canadians in a POW camp run by the Germans during World War II. And it's partially based on a true story, although they took quite a bit of license with it. But
they did. Apparently, the real-life incident involved British troops only, British prisoners only.
Right.
But to make this movie more appealing, they brought in Americans.
Right.
To be part of the prisoner group and part of the breakout group. So,
right. Yeah.
To make it more commercial, the story more commercial,
right.
I guess.
And you get to see Steve McQueen doing all sorts of stunts on motorcycles, which he was a motorcycle fanatic and like to race motorcycles. And so,
and that motorcycle stunt he does near the end is still held up as one of the best stunts of all time. And he does it himself. It's really cool. Cool stuff. It's a longer movie, but I tell you, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. And just the ensemble acting, you know, Richard Attenborough's in this movie. James Coburn is in this movie. Charles Bronson, Donald Pleasance. There's just a host of familiar faces that carry the story forward and make it a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah.
So that's in July.
July 9th.
July 9th. In August, now we've done a lot of Westerns over the years, and we found the Westerns are some of the most popular movies that we show. We're doing one that's been on the request list for a while for a number of people. Talk a little bit about The Wild Bunch in August, on August 6th.
Well, The Wild Bunch, for some people, is almost the ultimate Western movie. But it tells the story of these basically bad guys back in the Old West who have come to realize that the world in which they had been making their living is gone.
Yeah.
And that they're at the end of their careers and maybe their lives. And so they're trying to sort of mentally adjust themselves to this new reality, but at the same time, they can't give up what it is that they've been doing, you know, robbing banks and trains and stuff. Came out in 1969, and we're getting the director's cut, by the way, which is a little bit longer than the original, but it's got some scenes in it that were cut out on the original theatrical version just to make it shorter. So,
and those restored scenes help us understand the motivation of why the former partner of one of the bad guys is now coming after him on the side of the law to try to bring him in. Robert Ryan plays the former partner of William Holden, and there was a betrayal, and now Robert Ryan is trying to chase down William Holden, and it gives the motivations for that in those restored scenes. And I don't know, when you watch the original movie, how you could understand why is this guy chasing him if he hadn't seen those restored scenes.
Right, yeah.
And this is Ed, you put it very well. It's a bunch of guys trying to adjust to a different world. And there's some really good messages in here about friendship and loyalty and betrayal and even revenge. And the good guys are kind of the bad guys, and the bad guys become the good guys.
Yep.
It's a really good film. Okay, we've got a couple more to talk about, Ed, before we wrap this up. We've talked a little bit about Steel Magnolias in September.
Yep.
Come see that one. And then October 1st, that's our spook month, as we call it, the scary month. We're doing a movie by Clint Eastwood called Play Misty for Me.
Right, 1971 film. And I'll be honest with you, it's been so long since I've seen it, I'm not sure what it's about anymore.
Well, that's
this
okay.
This is what happens when you get old.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is real quickly, a movie that I saw in a packed movie theater in Oklahoma, Stillwater, Oklahoma, with a bunch of college students. It was packed. And I said, it's a scary movie. It's suspenseful. Clint Eastwood's first movie that he ever directed. It's got Donna Mills, Jessica Walter, and Clint Eastwood starring in the film. And I tell you, this movie keeps you on the edge of your seat in a little different way. It's about a radio DJ who's stalked by an admirer, and all of the bad things that happen in that relationship. And it's fun to watch.
I'm looking forward to it. That'll be on, October 1st.
October 1st, early in the month.
Yep.
Then on November 5th, we're doing something that we've talked about doing for a number of years, Ed. The movie Face in the Crowd with Andy Griffith. That will be one that I bet a lot of people have not seen. And will be surprised when they see the movie of the character that Andy Griffith creates on screen, which is this despicable lowlife who rises to have a lot of political power and all of the consequences of his behavior as he steps on people to get ahead.
Yes, it's a really interesting commentary on human behavior and particularly the manipulation of people in political areas, and how somebody can trick them into believing that he's or she is a really good guy and doing stuff for him when really he detests everybody who follows him. It's got some great acting in it, and it's got a really wonderful political message to it.
Yeah, Andy Griffith plays his character who on the surface looks like this nice guy, common man, appeals to everybody, but behind the scenes, he's very cynical. He has no respect for the people who are voting for him and following him. And it's quite a commentary on what people do to obtain political power.
Yes.
That's in November, November 5th, A Face on the Crowd. It's also got Lee Remick, Patricia Neal, and Walter Matthau. And I'd call that a political drama. It's a political drama.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting picture for those of you who like that kind of story. I'd highly recommend it. Okay, Ed, it's time, the last one, our time for our non-Christmas Christmas movie in December. December 3rd.
Yes, The Thin Man. We're going back to 1934. Now, last year we did a movie from the 30s, The Bride of Frankenstein. Or that, I would guess, was actually in the 40s. But it's been a while since we've gone back this far. Mm-hmm. But The Thin Man is the first movie in a franchise of Thin Man movies about this couple that they seem to spend most of their time drinking. But they get involved in solving murders and stuff. And anybody who's never seen the movies but knows the name, it'll probably be because if you do crossword puzzles, their dog's name is Asta.
That's right.
Which appears in crossword puzzles.
Numerous crossword puzzles, yes. Right. And so for the dog lovers out there, you got to come see this one because the dog plays an important role in the movie.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
So Asta.
Yes.
And, yeah, and that movie stars William Powell and Myrna Loy as Nick and Nora Charles.
Yes.
A married couple that likes to solve crimes.
Yes.
And sometimes to the chagrin of Nora.
Right.
Her husband gets involved in all these complex murder cases.
Yes.
And the thing about this movie is it's set during Christmas. It's not really a gather around the table kind of Christmas movie, but it's set during that time of year. So.
Right. Yeah, that's always our criteria is not, we don't, for the December film, we don't pick films like White Christmas or any of those. We like to do a film that has a Christmas scene in it in some form or other, but it's otherwise it's not really connected with Christmas.
Yeah, just to give us a break from all the Hallmark movies.
Right. I'm not going to say anything because I said that when we did our movie in December and some lady cornered me after chewed me out because she liked Hallmark movies.
She liked Hallmark movies. Well, there you go, Ed.
So no derogatory comments about the Hallmark
back to your
movies.
Pizza comment. Everybody likes pizza, just different varieties and different toppings, I guess.
Right.
So, well, so that's the lineup. And so I hope our listeners are going to be able to attend and show up to the select picks from the Lindo Theater. On Chicago Street here in downtown Freeport, one a month, the first Wednesday of every month. We have two showings, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., except for January, it'll be the 8th, and in July, it'll be the 9th.
Correct.
So check it out, and Ed, run down the complete list of movies for us.
Untouchables in January 8th, Beverly Hills Cop on February 5th, Aaron Brockovich on March 5th, 16 Candles, April 2nd. Dial M for Murder with 3D Glasses on May 7th. From Russia with Love, June 4th. July 9th is The Great Escape. August 6th is The Wild Bunch. September 3rd is Steel Magnolias. October 1st, Play Misty for Me. November 5th, A Face in the Crowd. And then we wind up the season December 3rd with The Thin Man.
Great lineup. Ed, thanks so much for spending some time talking about the movies that we enjoy viewing and showing and discussing with audience members at the Lindo Theater Select Pick Series.
Yes, we come see movies on the screen 40 foot high like they were meant to be seen when they were made.
That's right. So, movies were not made to be watched on a television screen in your living room. They were meant to be in a group on the large screen, full orchestration and sound, in the full picture. It's the only way to see a movie.
Exactly.
Well, have a good year, everyone. Happy New Year, and we'll see you at the movies.